First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
You're listening to Karen Cataline as a regular guest host of the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, and we plug right along on the Alan Nathan Show. So glad to have you along with us. A little while back, I don't remember exactly when it came out, there was a film called The Sound of Freedom, which really has done marvelously well. Tough subject about child sex trafficking and trafficking in general of humans, human trafficking. And the executive director, producer, is with us. And inspiration for much of the story of The Sound of Freedom, his organization, Liberating Humanity, is fighting to eliminate trafficking. His name is Paul Hutchinson, and we have him right here, right now. Thank you so much, Paul, for joining us here on The Alan Nathan Show.
Thank you, Karen. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. Am I right that the film has been doing very, very well?
Yeah, we were the number one independent film in the world last year.
Wow.
We did over $270 million in the box office. And, you know, that's not as important from a numbers, from a cash standpoint, as it is from a viewer standpoint. Our goal was to create a global movement, and that's exactly what's happened. It's within the top 10 most successful independent films of all time.
I hate to say this because it's pretty pejorative, but I don't care because it's true. Hollywood must be shaking in its boots because they would never have made a movie like this, would they?
No. In fact, we got pushback on every angle. The film was finished 5 years before we were able to get distribution, and it's because we were fighting the establishment on all levels.
Yeah, and I've had, you know, last week I had Cuba Gooding Jr., who has a Christian movie coming out called Firing Squad in about a month or two. And we spoke about the fact that, you know, if you say that Hollywood really is only about money, you're missing the point, because there is such a hunger for truth, honesty, addressing real issues, family, movies that are for families, movies that respect people of faith and their principles and integrity and accountability, you know, quaint little ideas like that. They could make such a bundle. I am shocked, but not shocked, that this film made well over $200 million, yet Hollywood doesn't want to make that kind of money and buck the, you know, their masters telling them to make pro-Satan movies instead. What say you?
They've got a very clear agenda, and we as good Americans need to pay attention to the mass psychosis that is happening from Hollywood, from Main Street media, from our politicians. There's so much going on behind the scenes that we're not aware of. In fact, one little interesting bit of history, Angel Studios, they're the studio that we finally went with to get the distribution. They're the ones that originally brought the TV series The Chosen, the life of Jesus to us. Well, years ago, their pre-version of their current company got sued by Hollywood, and the reason behind it will astonish everyone. They had some hardware, some software, kind of like a VCR, a DVD player, that allowed you and I as good parents to say, you know what, I want to filter what's coming into my home. I really like this movie, but it's got some, you know, it's rated R, it's got some sex, it's got some vulgarity, it's got some, you know, killing in it, whatever. And you could actually go onto this little player and adjust it and say, okay, now I can watch this with my 12-year-old and have an enjoyable time. But Hollywood did not want you and I to have any ability to censor what was coming into our homes. And that's what that original fight was all about. And so it's been going on for a long time. And we, right in the beginning, you know, we went into Sony and Lionsgate and Paramount about 9 years ago with this amazing story of this child rescue mission that we did in Colombia. They were interested in the story, but they wanted full ability to change it however they wanted to. They could have put, you know, my character and the character of Jim Caviezel in the movie. They could have put us in there in a precarious situation as a gay sex scene in the middle of it, or doing some horrible things ourselves to kids. They could have changed it however they wanted to fit their narrative. And so we turned them down and decided we're going to make this movie by the people, for the people. So I was the primary investor. I'm the first funder in the movie. And and the producer himself actually plays me in the film. And we took about 8 different rescue missions and put them all together into that one movie.
Boy, and I hear that people are crying at the end of this movie. It's not an easy movie to watch.
It's a life-changing movie when you watch it. It's a heavy subject, but it's something that we all need to be aware of. In fact, you know, I've seen the movie well over 50 or 60 times as we were watching all the iterations of it. And I watched it again last night. We had one of our new executive director for our foundation. Our foundation is the Child Liberation Foundation. And we have a new executive director, and he had his little 9-year-old daughter. And then one of our other employees had a 9-year-old daughter. And we decided, after talking, we said, you know what? It's time. These girls need to see this, and we need to have the hard talks with them about how to keep safe in a world that unfortunately has some dangerous people.
You didn't believe that anything in the movie was too much for a 9-year-old to handle?
No. In fact, one of them spoke Spanish only, and one of them only spoke English. So we have the Spanish subtitles. But the English speaker at the end, she said, "That is now my new favorite movie ever." And it's some heavy subject matter, but it doesn't show anything that is inappropriate at all for kids to see. They need to understand that indeed there are people out there who are not virtuous, who have some ill intent, that they, as kids, need to be aware of the situations they're out. I mean, see, the bottom line is the average age of a child being brought in to child sex slavery as a prostitute, the average age is 12. That's average.
Oh my God.
And so if we're not teaching our 9-year-olds the grooming behaviors and things that they need to be aware of, then we're missing the mark.
I would be remiss in mentioning, having written a book that has to do with the sexualization of children in what might seem mild by comparison, that there are certain people in this country, not only is this exploding because of the open borders and the sex traffickers on the border, but also there is a segment of the population that is pushing grooming behavior in public schools, pornography on public school shelves, actual pornography that people would get arrested for if they showed a child, or online. And now there's this movement to actually legitimize this kind of thing. Can you comment on that? Because it's so shocking.
Absolutely.
That a lot of people don't even want to think about it. It's so awful. To turn everything upside down. Yeah.
They're trying to change the word pedophile to minor attracted adult, really, so that you don't label them. Yeah, I'm going to label them all day long, right? Because I want to keep our kids safe from anybody with those kind of tendencies. And regarding the open border, let me just tell you what I'm seeing firsthand. I'm currently in South America. We spend a lot of time in a lot of the countries down here and building safe houses and healing retreats and ways to help heal humanity here and help the kids. And every single day, there are children disappearing from these big cities throughout all of Latin America, gone. And these parents don't have the resources to follow up and figure out where the kids are. And up on the U.S. border, you have hundreds of thousands of undocumented children that have come across the border in the last number of years. And it's unprecedented. And do you really think that these kids don't have parents? What's happening in many cases is these child traffickers are taking these kids. They're manipulating them with drugs and with fear, saying, hey, we know where your sister lives. We know where your mother lives. You don't want something bad to happen to them. You're going to do exactly what we say. And they send them across the border, and they've got a phone number and an address of their new sponsor, quote, right? Then they're using taxpayer dollars. You and I are funding the trafficking of many of these children. I'm not saying this has happened with every one of them, but
we have to get going. I just have to remind people before we let you go about the unaccompanied minors that happened under POTUS 44 that seemed benign, but I don't think was. How can people find you and read more of your story? Because this is an enormous problem.
Go to liberatinghumanity.com. And you can even go to, in another day, soundoffreedombook.com.
Great.
Look forward to a place where you can get the book about all of this.
Paul Hutchinson, thank you so much for joining us. We have to take a break. We'll be right back.
Peanut allergy has a significant impact on children, and we've seen this prevalence increase significantly over the past 20 years. Unfortunately, only about 20% of these patients will outgrow this. So there's a growing need for effective treatment that's safe for these families.
As a mother of a young child with peanut allergy, it's a stress to think about accidentally eating something that might have peanut in it, and going to school or birthday parties or Halloween or trick-or-treating with our friends are things that I think about in a way I never could have imagined in terms of her safety.
Right now, I'm an investigator for a clinical phase 3 clinical trial called VITESSE, which is using an investigational skin patch called Viaskin Peanut. It's for children ages 4 to 7. And what this does is leads to a desensitization so that the child can eat far more peanut protein before experiencing an allergic reaction, making it less likely they will have a reaction. To find out if this clinical trial might be a good fit for your peanut allergic child or family, visit the VITESSE website at vitesseallergystudy.com.
Graduation season is here, and it's never too early or too late to give the gift of knowledge. Fidelity Investments' latest college gifting study claims more than 8 in 10 parents say they'd welcome contributions to their child's college savings account instead of traditional gifts. Jared Newman, 529 College Savings Director at Fidelity Investments, with more.
In today's world, with a quick like or share of a gifting link, it's easier than ever to get friends and family involved in saving for a child's education. Not only has saving become easier with tax-advantaged accounts like a 529, parents and students now have even more flexibility with how they spend their savings, with books, rent, a laptop for school, even internet expenses being just a few examples.
Visit fidelity.com/collegegift. Investing involves risk, including the risk of loss. For this and other information on any 529 college savings plan managed by Fidelity, contact Fidelity for a free fact kit or view one online. Units of the portfolios are municipal fund securities and are subject to market fluctuation and volatility. You may have a gain or loss when you sell your units. Fidelity Brokerage Services, member NYSE, SIPC.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. This is Karen Cataline filling in for Alan today. And we would be remiss if we didn't talk about Biden's latest scheme having to do with electric vehicles and, oh my, so much more. Here to talk about it is director of the Center for Energy and Conservation at Independence Women's Forum. Excuse me, let me say that again. Independent Women's Forum. She's an award-winning writer with a column at townhall.com and hosts both the District of Conservation podcast and the CFACT video series, Conservation Nation. That has a ring to it. Gabriella Hoffman, thank you so much for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
Great to be with you today.
Hi, thank you. Well, give us an update on Biden's latest charging station plan, which apparently they say is off to a bumpy start.
It absolutely is off to a bumpy start, not surprising because of just how aggressive they've been trying to push EVs, push the pivot to EVs from reliable gas-powered cars. And like what we see in the private sector, manufacturers moving away from production because consumers just really don't want this. the Biden administration is double downing on their quest to make everyone essentially forcibly adopt an EV into their home or into their daily routine by saying that if we catalyze charging stations or construct more charging stations, that's going to really motivate people on top of the EPA tailpipe mandate, on top of all these other directives. But unsurprisingly, it's not off to a good start, and no construction, I think, of EV charging stations will instill confidence in this program. As a lot of people have seen, only 7 or 8 charging stations from the $7.5 billion that is supposed to be supposedly going towards constructing 500,000 charging stations by 2030 have only been constructed. So how can we have confidence in the program, in EVs by extension, if this is how we're wasting money?
Gabriella, you know, like a lot of people, science is not my best subject. So my eyes start to glaze over a little bit when people start talking about electric vehicles. Although I'm married to a trucker and he talks a lot about when electric vehicles with their batteries get wet, the cars melt down. They melt down. And people have gotten wind of this. And I guess what I want to ask you is, in so many cases, and let's talk about the EVs and, right now, you find a tone-deaf administration that, regardless of the real facts, regardless of what we already know, they want to force things on us anyway and ignore the facts. Doesn't that make everyone suspicious as to what their real agenda is if they won't pay attention to the facts?
They're overlooking the downsides, the very glaringly clear downsides to EV adoption, because it fits very well with their net zero climate directive to pivot away or fully decarbonize by arbitrary deadlines. The goal of the Biden administration is to achieve net zero emissions in totality by 2050, long after he's out of the presidency. And there's been debate over whether that's an achievable goal. We don't believe that's the case at my center. Just because you look at the economics and just the reluctance of people to want to give up reliable energy and products, byproducts that stem from oil and gas and coal, it's not sustainable, not feasible. But as it really, and EVs are part of the program in this instance, because like you said, they're actually really heavy on roads, which is why they're not included in the gas tax. And there's also reports that have come out and said that EVs as a whole are actually potentially worse for the environment. They may emit more in emissions, all things considered, even if you take out the engine and you have the replacement components. I mean, and just it's environmentally questionable of how it's sourced from abroad. China owns the majority stake of all production, refining, sourcing of rare earth elements. We will never dominate in that space. And also there's a reluctance to do mining here in the United States, which is a lot safer, far more vested in human rights and so much more. But it's just the true cost of EVs, the Texas Public Policy Foundation has said it's about $50,000 without the subsidies. What person, especially who is struggling with these inflationary times, is going to buy or want a $50,000 car that is not as reliable, that's going to take hours to charge?
Gabriella, what I'm also saying is I don't think they care, because what it appears to be when you push something that you know is ineffective, is inefficient, is expensive, is dangerous. Gee, have they done that with other things? Yes, they have. Then you have to ask yourself, do they want everybody riding bicycles and rickshaws, and they do not want people to have the freedom of personal transportation? The World Economic Forum said it out loud that that's what they don't want. So how do people with common sense and a love for freedom buck that, Gabriella? What do they say? Well, how do we do that when they already don't want them, but they're being pushed down people's throats anyway?
Well, it's obviously telling your lawmakers you don't like the different policies that are being handed down. It's getting involved. You know, voting with your pocketbook, essentially.
Like
we're
you are.
Nonprofit.
You.
Supporting
like
our
you
center. We are on top of all of this. So if your listeners are interested in supporting a group that is being effective and you know, challenging all this, we are working very actively. We have a law center. Sometimes we do opine and input on different, you know, amicus briefs, but we're actively, you know,
Excellent.
Working with members of Congress to challenge bad legislation. We sign on to different efforts with different like-minded groups in the energy space to challenge all these bad directives or similar measures. So we would be more than happy to kind of be a vehicle for listeners to fight anything. It's not just EVs, it's the attack on household appliances. This preference for climate change over energy security is really, and EVs factor into this too. It's very unsustainable. It's going to destroy the economy. It's going to deprive people of choices of vehicles, and it's going to make everything
and
just
from
much
liberty.
More expensive.
Well, and it's based on a faulty premise to begin with, that all these things would actually make any kind of difference, or that the fear that they put out initially, there was any truth to it in the first place. There really
was a lot of questionable science, yeah, to EVs.
Based on faulty premises to begin with, so that they could have the excuse to do whatever they want. You see the pattern again and again and again. Please tell everybody how they can find you and follow your work, because it's very important.
Yeah, so we are at iwf.org/CEC, which is the direct link to our center. So you can find all of my work and the work of my wonderful fellows, Sarah Montalbano and Paige Lambermont. I have a really small but really awesome, effective team, and we are keeping tabs on everything coming down the pike from the federal government. We're also watching what states are doing. Vermont has this crazy climate super fund. So we also follow with the chicanery and nonsensical stuff coming out of blue states as well. So people are aware of what type of model legislation could potentially creep into their states as well. So we have eagle eyes on what is happening, and we would love to be a resource. And I can be followed on social media. It's very easy to Google me and find me.
Gabriella Hoffman, tell us real quick about Conservation Nation. Where do they find that?
That's on YouTube.com, and we have lots of episodes, I think 17, 18, and more coming very, very soon.
That's how you do it, is you have to keep on top of it, and they are. Gabriella Hoffman, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So whatever happened to the trucker convoys in Canada and America? Did anything ever come from them? Well, we've got someone to give us an update about that when we come back. This is Karen Cataline. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Best-selling author Lisa Greenwald introduces her latest book for young readers, Fortune Tellers. The charming middle-grade novel follows three former best friends who discover the paper fortune tellers they made in third grade may hold the key to bringing them together. Millie, Nora, and Bee were best friends as little kids, but now, in the summer before seventh grade, they haven't spoken in over a year after the girls had a big fight and ultimately moved away from each other. Then the paper fortune tellers they made years ago pop up in the most unexpected places with special messages for each girl. Could this be the sign the girls need to reconnect? Or is the gap between them too wide to mend? Author Lisa Greenwald.
Hey, this is author Lisa Greenwald, and I'm so excited about my new book, Fortune Tellers. If you liked my Friendship List series and my TBH books, I think you're going to love this one, too. Check it out and let me know what you think.
The new middle grade novel, Fortune Tellers, by Lisa Greenwald, is now available wherever books are sold.
Award-winning author Christina Lee introduces the new YA romance novel, True Love and Other Impossible Odds. Described as honest, raw, and breathtakingly real, the story follows college freshman Grace Tang, who just might have rewritten the rules of love. In her statistics class, Grace comes up with an algorithm that she believes can pair her fellow classmates with their perfect romantic partners. Though some are skeptical, like her prickly coworker Julia, Grace is confident in her program, which is why she keeps trying to make things work with her match, Jamie. But as the semester goes on and she grows closer to Julia, Grace questions who she's really attracted to. Author Christina Lee.
Grace finds herself having to decide between the tidy equations she knows will protect her from heartbreak or the potential that true love doesn't follow any formula. I hope it inspires readers to keep their hearts and minds open to the possibilities life may deliver.
True Love and Other Impossible Odds is now available wherever books are sold.
Just in time for summer patio season, a new quarterly report from Square is examining the state of the restaurant industry with some surprising results. Mingtai Ha, head of restaurants at Square.
Diners have made some changes since before the pandemic, choosing to spend more on the weekends than they did before. And despite remote and hybrid work, happy hour is more popular than before 2019.
The additional rush means more money for restaurants, which is important as labor costs increase. Since 2017, average hourly earnings for restaurant workers have gone up 66%. But some restaurants, like quick service establishments and cafes, have actually seen payroll costs go down.
Bars and full service restaurants rely more on higher skilled employees who perform hard to automate tasks, which increase payroll costs. It's the exact opposite for QSRs and cafes. They can more easily leverage technology to automate and streamline operations, helping lower operating costs for front and back of house.
Learn more at square.com.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries, from healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan. And many of us remember the trucker's convoy that sprang into action in Canada and also in the United States. And many people want to know, whatever came of that? Did they just kind of go into the woodwork and back on the road? Or did something come of that? Here to help us and enlighten us further about that group of people is Eddie Cornell, Take Our Border Back North America Alliance team member from Ontario, Canada. He's a Canadian Armed Forces veteran who was part of the team that successfully sued Trudeau's government for the imposition of the Emergencies Act and the freezing of the bank accounts during the trucker convoy in Ottawa. He is the co-founder of Veterans for Freedom, a group that supports veterans and citizens from overreach of government and lawfare. Do we need that now? Oh, boy, do we ever. Eddie Cornell, thanks so much for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
Well, hi, Karen. It's nice to be here.
Well, that is quite a background that you have. Thank you for your service. How are you able to organize, you and your friends, organize this group, this ragtag group of truckers, to turn this into a group and an active, I hate to even call it activists, but they are. So tell us about this group, what they do, and how they got formed.
Sure. It started, you know, basically organically across the country. A couple of people, sort of got it started. You had Tamara Leach and Chris Barber and also Bridget Belton. They initiated it. Me, I was just a guy that showed up, and they saw me. I had my medals on. I went down. I got to be a part of this. And they pulled me into the inner circle, and I helped logistically any way that I could with them. And it was a massive success here in Canada. It brought a lot of hope to a lot of people. And in my opinion, I think it saved a lot of lives in this country, because we were probably one of the most extreme lockdown countries in the world at that time.
It is even, what, 4 years, four and a half, four, whatever it was, 4 years later. It's mind-boggling that the West was able to come under tyranny as quickly as it did. I think people were shell-shocked by it. And then we saw that America and that current administration that we still have was assisting Trudeau's government to try to shut down bank accounts because maybe they couldn't get away with it here yet. What say you about that?
You're absolutely right. You know, this really isn't a political party subject. This is about whatever political party that's in power decides to turn on their citizens like they did here and in America and other countries around the world. Freezing of the bank accounts was probably the most egregious violation that a person could receive. I was one of them that had the bank accounts frozen. And I had not been charged with a crime, nor have I ever been convicted of a crime, but they felt that they needed to punish me financially and lock everything I owned down, along with 250 other people.
Stunning. And, you know, in America, we think we have a Bill of Rights that would make that wholly and completely unconstitutional. But as we're seeing in America, it's very easy to thwart the Constitution when you have people in power who have no respect for it and they buy judges. So what was the upshot of that?
Well, in Canada, our Constitution is really a paper tiger, unlike your Constitution, which is probably the best document ever written for a democracy.
They're not paying attention to it, though. Yeah,
they're not. And here, it basically, you know, our charter and Section 1 of our charter allows the government to violate any of your rights if they feel it's necessary. So what kind of a constitution is that?
It's not much.
You know, it's not.
What happened with your finances, generally speaking? Were you able to be made whole? I know that they backed off of it, but some of us don't remember exactly what happened.
Well, what took place is, you know, they froze our bank accounts. We had no avenue for appeal. We didn't know who to contact. I contacted my bank and they were, you know, they were just like, they wouldn't even speak to me. So, you know, we didn't know how long they'd be locked down or if they'd ever be opened up again. So, you know, panic sets and like, how do you eat? How do you pay your bills? Mm-hmm. It was craziness. I didn't have enough money for gas to get home. I live about, 1,000 miles from our capital. And it was the middle of winter in February. It was minus 20, minus 25. And it wasn't for kind people giving me some cash to put gas in my car to get home. I don't know what would have happened, truthfully.
It's stunning. It's stunning. These people want to break anybody who dissents, anybody who disagrees. And it's not as if we haven't seen that in the past. It's not as if we haven't seen that happen through history again and again and again. They just, you know, want to crush anybody who says, could I have a word? Can I have a word with you? So did you recover your finances? Were you made whole?
I did recover my finances. You know, it was probably about a week. And they unlocked my accounts, which was great news. Now I keep just the minimum in, you have to have a bank, unfortunately, just the bare minimum in the bank. Everything else, I have as little to do with the financial institution as possible. It scared me to the point where, you know, you feel that they're coming for you in the middle of the night. They're going to SWAT your house and take you and throw you in some gulag somewhere.
And that's what they want people to be afraid of, too. And you were a part of a courageous group. I mean, that's what they do. They wanted to make an example of you. Let's talk about this group, Truckers Take Our Borders Back North America Alliance. I was delighted to see. It says citizens of the three North American countries have proclaimed. Can we include Mexico in that?
Yeah. Mexico is a part of it. Yeah.
How about that? Here's the quote. We're here to find the solution together peacefully. Our two main goals are to secure our borders and secure our ballot boxes. Boy, you picked the two most hot issues there are. How are you doing that? And we'll have to transition right into how people can learn more. But how are you doing that?
Well, we're having events around the country. There'll be five events that'll take place over the next several months. They can find it on the Take Our Borders Back website. And basically what it's going to do is bring people together, you know, to share a meal, to share a conversation, and say a few prayers for each other, because we realize, you know, when speaking to each other, we're all facing the same problems. We've got governments that are putting people through lawfare, and, you know, where the punishment is the process. And, you know, of course, there could be a punishment at the end, but they break you through the process. Our elections are interfered with, either with entities within our own countries or foreign entities. And, you know, it's happened here in Canada. I'm sure now that they've got a new president down in the United States, in Mexico. She came out of nowhere. Who knows? I mean, was there interference? I can't say. But we're coming together to say, you know what? We stand shoulder to shoulder, and we're not going to take this from our governments anymore. We are the people that you answer to, and you will answer to us, because this is how a democracy should work, is that, you know, people get to decide what happens within their own borders. I think that's so important. We can't be ruled by a bunch of Marxist communists, and that seems to be the way things are going.
Yeah, and they have a playbook. There's a Marxist playbook. It's all in operation, and you don't have to be any kind of conspiracy theorist to see it, because they're doing everything that our Constitution, America at least, were put into place to protect, such as the First Amendment. They're censoring speech. Every single one of our Bill of Rights are under attack in America, but our founders understood that those were the building blocks of personal individual liberty and personal accountability. It sounds like a wonderful goal. Full disclosure, I'm married to a trucker, and he's salt of the earth. And he hauled fuel for 5 million miles. And I mean, he has 5 million miles under his belt. And people have really understood that the truckers are the backbone of not just America, but of other countries that bring goods and services to people. Tell people how they can find you, follow you, and be a part of your goal to unite people under these basic ideas.
Well, people can find me on X. I'm not a big social media guy, but my X handle is @EddieCornell9. And I have links to the different websites for Take Our Borders Back. And also at Veterans for Freedom. That's veterans, the number 4, freedom.ca.
Freedom. Well, you modeled what standing up for freedom and justice is about. So thank you, Eddie Cornell. Godspeed. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Karen. It was my pleasure.
Yeah, it's ours. Well, we promised another segment with John Zemirak, and we'll have him right after this break. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show and the Main Street Radio Network. We'll be right back after.
Circle K is hosting another nationwide Circle K Fuel Day. On Thursday, May 23rd, 2024, customers can save up to 40 cents off each gallon of fuel between 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. local time. The discount is applied directly at the pump. Circle K is offering this discount to thank customers and help fuel their Memorial Day weekend trips. In honor of Memorial Day, 10% of the profits from fuel sales during the Fuel Day event will be donated to Circle K's nonprofit partner, Children of Fallen Patriots Foundation, which provides college scholarships and educational counseling to military children who have lost a parent in the line of duty. Plus, while fueling up, customers can also save big while cooling down with any size Polar Pop or Froster for just 79 cents all summer long at Circle K, America's thirst stop. More than 5,500 Circle K locations across the U.S. are participating in Circle K Fuel Day. To see if your local Circle K location is offering this deal, visit CircleK.com/Fuel Day.
The first thing is just get yourself organized. Again, that first payment is going to come at you pretty quickly, so make sure you understand your loan terms and just know how to actually make the payment. The second thing is, if you don't have a budget set up, I recommend having a budget. There are a lot of tools available online, but if you need support, we have many resources available at fidelity.com/student-debt-help. And the third thing I would do, and this could be a bit of a surprise, is talk to your employer. More and more employers are actually offering help when it comes to student debt. Employers have recognized that student debt is a burden for so many of their employees, and they've started to lean in two primary ways. The first is by just directly paying down on their employees' student loans. And this hits right to the heart of the issue, and it helps their employees to pay down their debt faster. More tools and supports available at fidelity.com/student-debt-help.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed. And they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And as promised, we wanted to bring back John Zemirak, senior editor at The Stream. He has a stellar biography, but I want to use every bit of our time to talk with him about his new book, No Second Amendment, No First, with a foreword by Eric Metaxas. And thank you, John, for coming back to join us once again.
Thank you, Karen. I actually have a piece appearing tomorrow at The Stream. The Supreme Court rules 9-0, no Second Amendment, no First. And what that's a reference to is the Supreme Court just overturned a court ruling that had thrown out a lawsuit the National Rifle Association was being aggressively persecuted by the state of New York. And this case shows the intimate connection between the First Amendment, our right of free speech and religious freedom, and the Second Amendment, our right to bear arms. Now, first of all, you need to know the Second Amendment originated in the concern for religious freedom. The text of the Second Amendment is largely lifted from the English Bill of Rights of 1690. And that Bill of Rights said that no Protestant could be denied the right to have firearms. Now, at first, that just sounds discriminatory to our modern ears. But what it's a reference to is the fact that Protestants were being persecuted, especially Puritans of the kind who settled America. Well, the Puritans in England were being persecuted by the Anglicans. And they wanted to make, and in fact, Charles I, Charles II had been raiding Protestant churches to seize their guns because they saw them as politically dangerous. So to protect their religious freedom, they wrote in gun rights specifically connected to religious liberty into the English Bill of Rights. That text was taken almost verbatim for our Second Amendment, which was unanimously passed by the Congress. Not one of our founders opposed the Second Amendment. James Madison said the Second Amendment was the fallback mechanism to overthrow a tyranny if all the other checks and balances of the Constitution failed, as we can see they're failing now, with one presidential candidate being threatened with prison by the ruling regime.
Right. Exactly right.
So this Supreme Court – so what happened was the state of New York was going to insurance companies and banks – every vendor that the NRA needed to continue in its existence and telling them, if you keep doing business with the NRA, we're not going to give you state business. And in fact, we're going to start looking aggressively at you from a regulatory perspective. So the banks all said, okay. So they were using debanking as they used it against Mike Lindell, as they used it against Senator Sam Brownback. They were using debanking to do an end run around the First Amendment. So they can say, well, we have not passed any laws censoring pro-gun speech or censoring pro-life speech. We've just threatened to bankrupt any bank or credit company or printing company or anybody who would do business with you. The Supreme Court, 9-0, in an opinion written by Sonia Sotomayor, a liberal, they said this was a transparent attempt to impose government censorship in violation of the First Amendment. So again, they were violating the First Amendment in order to strip us of the Second Amendment.
That's surprising, isn't it?
It's surprising.
The left would actually support that. Some of us are all a little bit suspicious.
Well, it was so naked. It's so nakedly an attempt at censorship. Remember what they did during the COVID panic?
Yes.
The World Health Organization worked together with Google and YouTube to censor the speech of doctors and epidemiologists, including Malone, Dr. Malone, who invented mRNA vaccines.
Right.
They were all – anyone who was critical of social distancing, the lockdowns, and forced vaccination was censored. But again, it wasn't done – by the government directly. They did an end run kind of censorship regime, thinking they could evade the law. So this Supreme Court decision is an important precedent for us in fighting all these kinds of lawfare, these nuisance suits and regulatory attacks on our right to say, hey, guess what? The virus might have come from a lab leak. Guess what? Anthony Fauci funded the research that created the virus.
And it takes 4 years for that to come out when the damage has already been done, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right, right.
The proxy, and, go ahead.
No, that's okay. What were you going to say?
You see a pattern of the government using these tactics again and again and again to use other companies, other people as their proxy to do what they are constitutionally not allowed to do, which they're doing too.
The left hates the Constitution because it is a barrier to their imposition of power. They want to run America like it's an anthill or a termite colony, where all the orders are top down and individuals have no meaning and no value. Human life is not sacred, so we can do whatever we want. Our Constitution was written for the biblical view of the human person as having life being sacred and us being accountable to God. That's why they're beheading statues of the founders. That's why they constantly refer to the fact that some of the founders were slave owners. They're cynically using the issue of racism and cynically using the memory of slavery as a way to discredit the Constitution so that they can remove barriers to their arbitrary power over us. And that's why the Second Amendment is so important. I document in this book the biblical roots of gun rights, the biblical roots of the idea that we can rebel against a tyrannical government. I show how that developed during the Reformation and the Counter-Reformation and how it came to flower in the American founding. And I show how the churches, by abandoning their aggressive defense of the Christian worldview, the biblical worldview, the churches are now, a lot of them, on the other side. My own Catholic Church is constantly spouting about, we need public health measures to control the contagion of gun violence. Notice they use the language of public health because they know they can get away with lockdowns. They know they can get away with banning public meetings. They violated every one of the constitutional amendments to the Bill of Rights during the COVID panic. That was all justified by, we're saving lives. You're killing people. Yeah. But we saw how much they cared about human
lives. Ironically, they were killing people. And they were,
they were
suppressing.
Dumping, they were dumping COVID patients in nursing homes in all the blue states in order to spike the death statistics so they could justify mail-in balloting and steal the election.
And how evil is that, really?
Well, someone who will abort a nine-month fetus, someone who will do sex changes on children will do anything.
Yeah. I wish I had more time. Always a pleasure. You're a treasure. And a pleasure. John Zmirak, how do we get your book?
It's on Amazon. It's in bookstores. No Second Amendment, no First.
Zmirak, remember that name, Z-M-I-R-A-K, one of the best guests ever. That does it for this edition of the Alan Nathan Show. Stay tuned, stay strong, speak out.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.